Well, here we are on Father's Day. And what a blessing it is to be a father. And this morning, we are going to look at the Word and think and ponder about God being our Heavenly Father, not in just word only, but truly indeed our Heavenly Father, and us being His children, and what that means in the relationship that we have with God. You can look in the Old Testament, and there's very sparsely places where it kind of refers God as the Father to Israel, or He has compassion as a father, or like a father. But truly, the relationship of a man to God as Father really was introduced to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that He was God's Son. And in the Word, when you see, all four Gospels have it, you can see where Jesus Christ refers to God as Father. In the Aramaic, it's Abba. In the Greek, it's Pater. And you have this relationship because Jesus Christ was God's Son, God's child. And when we look at our lives as Christians, born again Christians, or born from above Christians, we can look at that we truly are children of God also. And to know that in the depth of our hearts, not kind of know it, not kind of believe it, but really believe and know from the Word of God that we are God's children. And we're going to see from the Word of God that we have been given the privilege and the right to call, to address God as Father. On this Father's Day, that should be super significant. You know, many of us don't even think twice about addressing God as we pray to Him, Heavenly Father, or Our Father. We may even think, well, it's just natural that we call God Father just as easily, just as naturally as Hudson would call Tim Father, as Jediah would call David Father, as Sarah would call Dean Father, just as naturally as that. Jesus, when He taught His disciples to pray, He even taught that, our Father. But this morning, I'd like for us to back it up, to pause it a little bit, to ponder a little bit about what a huge privilege that is that we can call our God Father. And that relationship that we have with Him, that we don't take it for granted, but we know it's sure. You know what I mean? We don't take it for granted, but we know it's sure. Maybe when we pray to our God, to our Heavenly Father, we should put some thought and some deliberation and contemplation in what a privilege that is. To have the right and authority to call God Almighty Father. Maybe we should put some thought into, gee, what is our position of favor that we've been given that we have that right and privilege to call God Father? You know, for the Christian, addressing God as Father is not arrogant. And it's not offensive. Some of the religious leaders of the day, when Jesus Christ said that God was his father, they had a cow over it. They had a real problem with that. But for us, we shouldn't think that it's being offensive to call God Father. We shouldn't think that we're being arrogant, and we shouldn't be arrogant when we address God as Father. But it really is something to appreciate. It's a privilege, it's a right that we've been given, and not because of our merit at all, but because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah? The book of Isaiah, chapter 6, please. Kind of in the middle of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 6. Smile when you're there. Okay. Isaiah chapter 6. And as we read these few verses here at the beginning of chapter 6 of Isaiah, to think about the unholiness of man. And think about the utter holiness of God. Verse 1, in the year of King Uzziah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, this is Isaiah, the prophet, man of God, right? Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Now there's a lot of figurative things going on here. He's seeing this. Okay, Isaiah, this revelation. You may ask yourself, well, what are seraphims? Some scholars say the seraphims are the upper level of angels, right underneath the archangels. Some say, well, they're celestial beings. But I do know this, wherever they show up, they are in the presence of God, and they are powerful. You see them in the Word. But I'd like to call your attention to how Isaiah sees himself as a man and then sees God as God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. His glory fills the whole earth. Do you think Isaiah has a reverence towards God Almighty in this? Yeah, a huge reverence. And then look at where it says, where the seraphim flew and took the tongs, took coal from the altar, touched his lips, purged his sins. And now, after that, you see Isaiah say, send me. I'll speak for you. after his sins had been purged. And I think about us. I think about the purifying, cleansing, powerful blood of Jesus Christ and how that has purified us from our sins. It doesn't give us a license for sin, but it purifies us. Where we can now have a relationship with the Holy God. He is the, in other places you can see, he's the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. And this is the God that you and I have the privilege and right to say, Father, when we pray. Isn't that something? Kind of makes the hair stand up on the old arms when I think about that. So it's no light thing when we, as Christians, approach our God as Father. And how we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that purifies us so that we may approach the Holy God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the high and lofty one which inhabits eternity, whose very name is holy. That's in Isaiah 57, if you want to jot that down. It's in the same book. But you see the reverence that Isaiah has towards God. And my plea this morning, I suppose, is that even though we have the right and privilege to approach God because of Jesus Christ, to call him Father because of Jesus Christ, we should do it with quite a bit of reverence in our hearts, remembering just who is our Heavenly Father as the great God, God Almighty. Would you please turn with me to the Gospel of John? The Gospel of John. And there's a verse here in this first chapter of the Gospel of John that I've just been ruminating like a cow chewing its cud over and over, wanting to know more about this verse and to really get it in my heart. And that's verse 12. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. And it's talking about Jesus Christ. But as many as have received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus Christ gave us, those who have received him. And what does that mean? Those of us who have received him as the Christ, the anointed of God, as the Messiah, the anointed and promised one from old, to receive him as the only begotten of the Father, to receive him as the Redeemer, to receive him as the sacrifice of righteousness. We heard that this morning by the Spirit. It's pretty wonderful. The Lamb of God, which was slain and yet now lives, to receive him as Lord and Savior. As many as have received him, to them gave he the power. Gave. It's much more than just handed it to you. It's a bestowing. He bestowed upon those that have received him as Lord and Christ, as Savior, He gave the power. And that word power isn't like power. It's the right and the authority and the privilege. It's a different word than a miracle work and power. It's a right. He's given us the right. He has given us the right, the privilege of being the sons of God. The sons of God. It would be more accurately translated children of God. In the Word of God, there's more than one way you can become a son. You can become a son by adoption, and you become a son by being an offspring. This word here is technon. It's an offspring, a child, produced child of God. But as many as received him, them gave he the power, that privilege, that right, that authority to become, to be the sons or the children of God, to them that believe on his name. And that, what's in the name, right? His character. Who he is. His heart. His abilities. His powers. His authorities. Everything that Jesus is wrapped up in that name. How many of you ever prayed in the name of Jesus Christ? It's more than abracadabra. And as I think about calling God Heavenly Father, it's only by the name of Jesus Christ that I have the privilege to do so. Because he has given them that have received him the right and the privilege to be children of God. So if you've ever prayed, Father, some people even will say Daddy, when referring to God. If you've ever prayed that, that's courtesy of Jesus Christ. We owe it to him. So it would almost be fitting for us to, when we address our God as Father, to be praying in the name of Jesus Christ and everything that that name represents and stands for and is. You can see in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is in the garden, he's praying, he calls God Abba, Father. It's a term of intimacy. Abba is just the Aramaic, Father is the Greek. It's a term of intimacy. And that's been God's heart all along, to have an intimate relationship with his children. That's you and me. A tight, close relationship with him. He's saying, you know, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. That's what Jesus was praying. And he was praying to his Father. And he knew it. At Easter time, we read this verse we were talking about in the garden. And he shows up. They supposed he was the gardener. Remember? We were looking at that. And Jesus says, touch me not, for I have not ascended unto my Father yet. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. Was there any mistaking who he's referring to? My Father and your Father, my God and your God. So think about that. And then when we go to the Lord's Prayer, and remember who's teaching this, it's Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, the anointed Christ, the Messiah, for sure. and he's praying and he's teaching them how to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven," what's the next word? "Hallowed be thy name." That means holy. And we see from the other places in God's word, what is his name? Holy. Holy, holy, holy is his name. His glory fills the whole earth. And even though Jesus Christ is addressing, he's teaching his disciples to address God as Father, look at the reverence he teaches right in there. Holy is thy name. You know, it's not being arrogant to pray addressing God as Father. It's not. It's a right. It's a privilege bestowed upon us by the Lord Jesus Christ. The power, the right, the authority to be the children of God. But even Jesus Christ, when he's teaching to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." Make no mistake. There's a difference between being cocky with God and being sure with him and confident with him. Even when we address God as Father, it's with a heart of knowing who he is, that he is God Almighty, that he is the high and lofty one which inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. There's no God before him. There's no other God. There's one living God. That's God, and he has given us, through the Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished work, the power or the right to be the children of God, whereby we can say, Father, Abba, right? So it's almost befitting, if we're going to pray to God as Father, that we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, because it's courtesy of him that we have that right to pray that way. You know, he's the Ancient of Days, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the great I Am, the one true God. But we get the right, the privilege to address him as our Heavenly Father. And we're going to go to the epistle of 1 John even further. Every time I read this, I just want to shout, yay. 1 John chapter 3. Remember who it was that bestowed upon us the right and the privilege, the authority to be the children of God, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And now when we read this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold," take a good look, look at this, "what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Once again, this is children of God by production. "That we should be called the children of God, and therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Beloved, now are we the children of God. When are we the children of God? Now are we the children of God. And people may mock us and say, "Oh, you're one of those born again Christians." And I say to that, is there any other kind? Yeah, we're born from above. Jesus was trying to explain that to Nicodemus, remember? Nicodemus, "Do I crawl back into my mother's womb in the second?" You know, Jesus is like, "You're a teacher. You're like one of the master teachers in Israel. What's wrong with you?" He's teaching them about spirit. Right? Born again. It's a good thing. It also means born from above.
But who's above?
God.
Jesus Christ has bestowed that privilege upon us that we could be the children of God. That we believed, we've trusted in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a hallelujah day. You know, as Jeff would say, well, that's a Holy Ghost happy time. Think about that. Now are we the sons of God? And it, in the text, it really should read, now are we the sons of God? And we are. And we are. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the children of God by the new birth, by Holy Spirit that we've been given unto us. So on this Father's Day, take a little pause. Ponder what a privilege it is for us to address God Almighty as our Heavenly Father. With confidence, but not with a cockiness or an arrogance, because we know who we're talking to. And He is that holy God, the great God. There's nobody like Him. He's in His own league, right? And we have been given the power, the right, the privilege to be the children of God, where we can address Him as our Heavenly Father. So let us do so, right? Amen. Amen.